Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for tuning into the Streamy Honorable Mention for Other Category.
Yes.
Holderness Family Podcast. No. Other.
So we actually won the Audience Choice Award because we have the best community that there is on the interweb.
It's because of you guys.
It is because of you.
And clearly it wasn't because of us, because we didn't win the part.
We're the judges, actually. But I just love the other category because we don't really fit into, we're not true crime or comedy. We've embraced the other.
Yeah. Makes us wonder if we shouldn't change our focus or be a little more specific or something.
I would be the worst, because true crime kind of freaks me out. And because it's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would be like the reluctant true crime host. That could actually be a really funny genre.
I do like listening to the, I've ducked in and out of true crime before, and I like it. It's always an NPR sounding voice, and NPR voices sound a little bit like this. There's not a lot of drama.
It's slower.
You talk slower. So I made my way to this tiny town in search for answers. And then there'd be like a 45-minute musical break.
Anyway.
It works for me, though.
You guys, switching gears. We have a big announcement. So by the time this is published, I think a few days after, we have a big announcement. We're not really supposed to tell anybody, but because our podcast is our very favorite thing, we'll give you a little hint. It rhymes with schmarget.
That's going to be hard for anyone to figure out, honey. Maybe you should give a little obvious.
We have a big, exciting announcement that'll come out around the time you're listening to this. Anyway.
And it pertains to something you can buy.
We're really.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Anyway. But thank you for being here. Today, I'm excited to talk about this. We have been in discussion. We've talked about it, that we had signed up for, Penn is a birthday present to me, but I was so excited about it, had signed up for a kiteboarding camp. It's for adults. And I was so excited about it, but then instantly became so terrified. And so we're going to talk today about some lessons I learned getting out of my comfort zone. And that has been my theme for the year. So let me ask you, Penn, if I say, let me transport you to your favorite spot in the world, where would it be?
Oh, a beach, a porch. I'm specifically near the ocean, probably with some people I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, and I'm not lying, there's a spot on my couch with my dog on my lap and my family nearby.
But not too close.
Yeah, close, but not like touching me.
Right. So you're not snug. Sunny is allowed to make contact. The rest of us are.
I'm not even lying.
Arm's length.
When I watched Willy Wonka for the first time, and you know that the grandparents that stay in bed for years and years, and they're just like in the middle of the living room, and there's the two sets of grandparents, and the and they're just like serving. I was like, I said it out loud. I was like, you know what? If anybody in that movie, I'm kind of, that's the one, those are the ones I'm kind of jealous of.
So my reaction was, how come Joe could suddenly just get out of bed?
I know. It's not. I mean, it's not. It's fiction.
I know. Sorry.
But I just want to set the stage that I like just sitting and being in my own home is my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But I also know that I'm far happier when I leave the house and try new things. But it is a struggle to get my butt off that couch.
Sure. And I've seen that. Part of this has to do with something we speak of very frequently on this podcast, which is where you get your energy from. Mm-hmm. You know, there are extroverts in the world and there are introverts in the world. It doesn't necessarily mean that extroverts are outgoing and introverts are hermits. That's, in fact, a horrible misconception. You can be the life of a party as an introvert, but you, as I believe more of an introvert certainly than me, get your energy from places like that. You recharge in places like that. Your tank does not run empty in places like that. And for that reason, you and I probably have different, we probably have different ways to go outside our comfort zone, with the exception of this week, which was really pretty much outside both our comfort zones.
But I think that for you, trying a new sport or adventuring to a new place, it seems normal and exciting. I mean, example, Penn was asked by a friend of a friend to go sing in a band this weekend at a neighborhood pool. It's this very chill pool party, and they needed a singer. And it was like a friend of a friend. He had never met these people. And his answer was, sure, I'll do it. And he's been to two practices.
That's right.
And you go into somebody's house, you don't know these people, with great confidence, pick up a microphone and start singing songs. I would need so much more information before, obviously I'm not going to sing, I'm A, but if somebody said, hey, we need a backup dancer for this, I would say, no, I would never do that.
Why aren't there people just asking for backup dancers these days?
We need more middle-aged backup dancers, like, well, to be clear.
I'll be honest with you. If I were at a pool party and I had a choice between a over 40 classic rock jam band and a bunch of 40-year-old like former college dancers, like dancing to Britney Spears, I mean, I would rather watch the second one.
The choice is clear. I mean, but so I'm just setting the stage here that leaving my comfort zone is in fact very uncomfortable.
Sure.
And my rational brain knows that it's good and actually necessary to try new things. And I read the book at the beginning of the year, and I think we've talked about on this podcast. It's called The Comfort Crisis: Embrace Discomfort to Reclaim Your Wild, Happy, Healthy Self. It's by Michael Easter. I've tried small ways to get out of my comfort zone. I've said yes to every social invite that's come my way. And that's huge. Okay. I've made it a point to try new restaurants in different parts of town. I have this very familiar running path. Like, I ran the same path every day, basically. And I've been trying to take new routes. So I've been like trying to take baby steps, but this was like a very big step, this very new, scary, physical thing. And you and I had made a pact at the beginning of the year that every year we're going to try something new and scary, at least once a year.
Yeah.
As long as our bodies will let us, we're going to.
Yeah. And just to tie that back in, because we got the idea from Michael Easter, there's a huge part of The Comfort Crisis, which we both read. And it's a very quotable book. I find that maybe it's just because of the season of life that we're in, but we're constantly referencing it. And a big part of it is this thing called a misogi. And I hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's M-I-S-O-G-I, if you want to look it up. But it was something that he took from another culture. He actually took it from a guy who runs like a sports performance company. But what it is it's an annual challenge that you embark on, that the rules are, number one, you can't die. Dangerous that you're going to die. And the other big rule is that it has to be difficult enough that there's really only a 50-50 chance of success. For example, if you like, it can be hard, but if you're a marathoner and your misogi is to run a marathon,
it's not.
That's like 100% success.
Yeah.
So some of the examples of things that people have done, even like NBA players, former NBA players have taken this on, is to like skin dive underwater and roll a giant boulder a kilometer.
Yeah, I mean, just really hard mentally tasking things. And you're pushing your, the whole challenge is to kind of push out of your comfort zone and push yourself, like push your limits. He writes, in newness, we are forced into presence and focus. Newness can even slow down our senses of time. This explains why time seemed slower when we were kids. Because when we were kids, everything seemed new. And I have to say, we took on kiteboarding.
Yeah.
Is it something, I mean, there was a pretty high chance of probability. Is it a true Misogi? I don't know.
Hang on. Well, I'm going to disagree with you there, because having surveyed the people who were out there, there was about a 50-50 rate of success for the people who went out there just to be able to, like, on your own, get up and do it.
Yeah, and I think there might be, it's, the rules are a little fuzzy to me in terms of, can it be somebody, something's assisting you with, whatever. But for our personal rules between the two of us, this counted. This is something we were trying to learn. We're trying to push ourselves physically. And I have spent a lot of time, especially this summer, with my children, asking them to try new things, especially my son. You know, he's 13, he loves basketball, but we've been trying to get him into, just expose him to different things and to, you know, different, if it's a camp or it's a new friend. And he's 13, he's reluctant. But at the end of the day, he's always happy he did.
Yeah.
He's always happy he did. So I needed to sort of take my own advice.
Right. In that same vein, because you've been like proactively like signing them up for things, I was a little nervous because I signed you up for this without telling you about this.
But to be clear, we had seen,
we talked about it. It still, I was a little nervous. It's not super refundable. I was very, very happy with your response, which was gung ho, let's do this. I'm excited. Let's do this.
And we had seen kiteboarders around the beach and in videos over the past couple of years. And so just to set the scene here, kiteboarding, it's like a wakeboard is a little tiny surfboard. And a wakeboard, traditionally, you're pulled behind a ski boat, like you would water ski, but you're on a like little tiny ski, you know, surfboard. But kiteboarding or kite surfing, the terms are interchangeable, I believe. You're being pulled by the power of a kite, so the wind, instead of a boat. So it seems really hard, and it seems really hard because it is really hard, you guys. We signed up for this Zero to Hero camp, and it's in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and it's that scene's pretty famous for kiteboarding because they have a lot of shallow waters and really consistent winds.
And we will be right back.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy.
Opening up to a therapist might feel uncomfortable, cathartic, exhausting, or even exhilarating. But one thing's for certain, if you keep talking or texting with a licensed therapist, you will gain insights and uncover truths that you can only find in therapy.
Get those personal breakthroughs and judgment-free support by signing up for Talkspace.
At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours.
There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made easy.
Talkspace is also affordable and in-network with most major insurers.
To celebrate May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering every listener of this podcast $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com/Holderness.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/Holderness to get $80 off your first month with code SPACE80. And to show your support for the show.
That's Talkspace.com/Holderness with code SPACE80. I have to say, Penn, I remember I was really nervous.
Sure. I was too. I know that you say that I try things out and I figure them out pretty easily. I believe in kind of painting a visual picture. So I don't know that most people have actually been to this part of the world, but the Outer Banks of North Carolina, the northern part of the Outer Banks of North Carolina, are separated. There are cities like Plymouth and Washington on one side, and then there are miles and miles of this sound called the Pamlico Sound, to the point that when you get across these multiple bridges to get to Cape Hatteras, you look to your right, and there's the Atlantic Ocean, which we're used to, right? It's just, it goes on for miles and miles. It takes you over to England. You go to the left side of this island, which is less than a mile wide. It's only 3/4 of a mile wide. And you see this sound that for all intent and purpose looks like the ocean. But because of the setup of this island, the wind is always going to blow in your favor in one direction. And for that reason, it is this crazy mecca for kiteboarders. And when you go over these bridges and you get to the island, what made me scared was I saw people doing it who clearly had done it for a while. And y'all, people who know how to do this, it is borderline terrifying to see some of the jumps that they make.
And I was, you know, we pulled up, we see these people like doing jumps and tricks. I was like, what the hell am I doing? Those kites are so huge. I'm not a large person. I'm going to fly away and never see my kids again. And Penn had the most rational answer ever. Because I was like, honey, I just don't think I can do this. Like, this isn't for me. This is for 20 somethings. This is not for me. He's like, babe, we've already paid in full. We have to do it now. We paid in full.
Yep.
And so I want to get into some of the things I learned last week.
Okay.
The first thing I learned is doing hard things is actually very hard. I get anxious doing anything new. And Michael Easter, there's a quote from his book that says, fear is apparently a mindset often felt prior to experience. So before we experience things, I think it's pretty common that fear sets in. I know it was safe, so it wasn't like I was being stupid about it, but I needed to learn how to push through. But I think acknowledging that it was hard helped me in some way. So in the first day, you basically go into these waist deep waters of the Pamlico Sound and you're holding on to this huge kite. And how my kite was not as big as yours, but how high up would you say those kites were in the air?
They're about, so they're between 75 and 100 feet, depending on how much wind there is.
Yeah, in so, the air. And then it's right. How wide?
Well, they're judged in meters, yeah. I think, right? So I think yours were between 8 and 11 meters, depending on the wind, and mine were between 11 and 14.
So pretty flipping big. I'm 5'4", and so this thing was monster. And I have to say, it was a really big deal for me to learn how to get this thing up and then to just hold it still and to make the teeny tiny movements and then the slightly bigger movements that needed, you know, that you would need to harness. I was really scared that, I mean, we were safe distance from people, but I was really scared I was going to hit somebody. I finally found some confidence in my own strength. And I had to remind myself of all the things I've accomplished in my life. I had to say, like, I gave birth twice. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I bungee jumped off the highest bungee jump in Europe. I can do this. I had to say those things. But yeah, doing hard things is actually very hard.
Well, can I be specific about why this sport is really hard? Mm-hmm. Because to me, it's fascinating. Let's start with this. You know how in science class you learn the difference between a stable equilibrium and an unstable equilibrium? I'll take you back if you want.
Penn, I have chunked and discarded. Like I emptied the trash can on that knowledge.
Well, can I bring it back? It's kind of a
you
fun
can
way
try.
To...
Okay. You can try.
All right. So I want you to envision a hill and I want you to envision a bowl. Mm-hmm. And you've got a ball bearing. It's all ball bearings these days. It's a ball bearing. It's a nice smooth ball.
Okay.
How about just a marble?
A marble. Let's do marble. That.
Okay. In the bowl, you put a marble anywhere in the bowl, right? On the top of the bowl, the side of the bowl, wherever. It's going to go dink, 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 and it's going to stop in the exact same place.
Right.
That is a stable equilibrium.
Good. You're a good teacher.
So it just means that there's a lot of room for error for you to get back to where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
In golf, there's holes that are bowl-shaped when you go to a putt-putt, and they're just eventually going to go in the hole because they want to get you out of there.
Right.
And then there's the ones that are on the hill, okay, on top of a hill. So imagine putting a ball or a marble on this hill. Unless you put it in exactly the center of the top of the hill, it will not come to rest. You put it anywhere else, it's going to fall off the side and chaos ensues.
That's kiting.
These kites, they're high-performance kites. They do have this stable equilibrium, which is when you let go, it just goes down into the water. Mm-hmm. So its stable equilibrium is to fall to the water safely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a safety measure. And I'm glad they have it. But the only way to keep it up flying is to put it in exactly the right wind window, which is a very unstable equilibrium. And so I was thinking about having to put that ball on top of the hill the entire time and realizing anytime you barely kind of stretched it one way, you would fall, right?
Oh, and fall I did, you guys.
We all did.
That brings me to number two. Doing hard physical things is mentally and physically exhausting. It's funny. Penn and I both brought our computers in hopes of, because we had big long breaks. It was like a session in the morning and a session afternoon. So we'd have long breaks in between. And of course, in the evenings, our kids weren't there. So Penn is writing book number two. We thought we were going to just be knocking out so much work. We were both so physically and mentally zapped that we could do nothing more than stare at a TV screen. By the way, we were binge watching Suits 10 years late. We just started watching Suits and we're obsessed.
You guys, it's kind of trashy.
And, oh, it's like a soap opera. And everybody's hot.
And their main character is like, he like is so cocky. He'll like throw quarters at people and say, call someone who cares. And I freaking love it.
Oh my God. Everybody's so attractive. Meghan Markle's in it. First of all, she's married to Prince Harry. And I thought when they were getting married, I thought maybe she had a 3-episode arc that she was in it.
No, she's a big character.
She was a main character.
Not only is she a main character, we got to the end of season 2. Maybe season 3, can't remember which one. And there's some graphic content
Meghan Markle. Sexy time.
Yeah.
This is sexy time. Anyway, I have to say, we didn't even have energy to talk to each other. And I started to feel shame for not being productive. And by the end of the week, I think I had promised some scripts and I had promised some, you know, motion on some work projects. And I had really nothing to show for it. And I felt very, very guilty. But I had to give myself some grace because we were doing this mental and physical thing.
Yeah.
And that, in turn, was very productive.
Let's talk about why it's mentally exhausting. You guys, I was talking earlier about that unstable equilibrium. Once you get there, the reward would be that you would get up on your wakeboard. But before they let you do that, they want you to find that equilibrium where the wind carries you forward in an activity that we did for hours.
Called body dragging. When the first time they said it, I was like, this sounds like you're committing a crime and trying to get rid of the evidence. And it sort of felt like that.
Yes.
So you were kind of harnessing your kite in the wind and you're literally letting it drag you upwind, downwind, different directions because you have to prove. Guys, this is really flipping hard. But also can be painful if you do it wrong. And those were so many moments when I'm like, I am. There was a college soccer player she was like this adorable 19-year-old.
Division I athlete. Yeah.
Yeah. Who was there and, you know, she was just whipping around and we're in good shape, right? We work hard, but we are not Division I athletes. And it was very humbling as a perfectionist. That was the part I found so mentally exhausting, and I had to tell you're kind of paired with a coach, and Zoe's the best. I had to confess to her because she said, "You are getting really frustrated, and it's not that big of a deal." And as a perfectionist, not being able to do it right on the first time, it was not a good feeling.
Can I ask you something more specific about that? Because I think you and I both had our own individual limits of frustration. And it sounds like your reasoning why is because of your perfectionism. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, what was going on in your head?
There was a lot, because I ask our children to adapt this growth mindset. And the growth mindset is very widely publicized, which is the foundations of it, as I understand it, is you are better off trying and failing at something at the end of the day, because you learn more when you fail at something. You know, if you get the math problem wrong the first three times, well, when you get it right, you're going to know exactly why it's right. You're going to know every way to not do it. So adapting the mindset of, like, let's try it 10 different ways and find 10 different ways it doesn't work. And we know it so much better and truer, and we're stronger for having tried and failed. We are truly stronger for having tried and failed than just getting it right in the first time. The problem is, I grew up not, and this is not, my parents did not enforce it, because my parents were never, they never were, you know, I never got disciplined for not getting things right. This has nothing to do with my family. This is clearly the way I was born. I do not like being bad at things, and that keeps me from trying things. So this band situation that you got invited to this weekend, I think the big reason, it's not because it's outside of my comfort zone so much, but I would be afraid that it would be terrible. And you had no hesitation. You don't even, like, you say these people are great. They're good. They're fine. You know,
yeah.
You don't even, if you got up and sucked, it wouldn't bother you.
It's a pool party.
Yeah.
No one's going to hear us. They're going to be
exactly
underwater.
Exactly. So, and you know, and it doesn't matter. I take everything so seriously. I don't want to suck. And is in direct contrast with what I ask my children to do every day. They play sports. They are, you know, in school, and I'm asking them to take chances, try new things. I'm asking them to, I mean, well, they are pushing themselves in sports, but if they're going to enter, if Lola's going to play a tennis match, I'm trying to say to her, go out, have fun, and who cares if you lose? And because it doesn't matter to me if my kids win or lose. It doesn't matter. But to me, it does. And I was losing at kite surfing. I was looking around, and I was seeing this adorable 20-year-old soccer player. I was seeing these men who were there who have tried it before.
You didn't know that at the time,
though. I didn't know at the time. They tried it before. And I'm seeing you come back at the end of the day. You're like, yeah, I stood up. I got it. It was great. And I was like, Mother Mary, I just didn't like sucking. Yeah.
Well, I did try to explain to you. I think that first time I got up was a bit lucky.
Yeah.
I also, so here's what I struggled with. You struggle with perfectionism. Mm-hmm. I actually discovered something about myself, and I said it out loud at the end of the second day, or maybe the beginning of the third day, because y'all, it really does take 3 days to get this to work. Mm-hmm. I was very good at flying the kite pretty quickly. I just figured it out. I was really good at wakeboarding because I've done it before. Mm-hmm. But when I put them together, it short-circuited my brain a little bit. And the guy I was with, the coach was like, man, you're really good at wakeboarding, really good at that. You got up once, and then, like, it seemed like you sort of took a step back. And I'm like, dude, I only know how to do one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think before I said it. But I just kind of went back to the book that I've been writing for the last year, mm-hmm. which is where you learn about the executive functioning skills of an ADHD brain, which are you can actually focus incredibly well on something difficult as long as it's that one thing and there's nothing else mm-hmm. holding your attention, because the functioning of an ADHD brain is like an on and off switch, not a dimming board. You're either all in on one thing or you're all out on one thing.
Yeah.
And so putting the kiting and the boarding together was
short-circuited
my brain. I got up once, and I think the reason I got up once is because I wasn't thinking about the board. I just was good at it, and I was just thinking about the kite. And then when he started adding instructions on, there's something else you've got to do with the board now in order to do these other things, and I put those two together, and I fell apart. Mm-hmm. It is, you say this is mentally exhausting. Do you remember what the owner said about this sport? Mm-mm. Which blew my mind. He said, every other sport you've done in your entire life has been two-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Soccer, basketball, football. You're sitting, you're moving either forward or sideways at all times. And every once in a while, something leaves, but it always comes back, like mm-hmm. a ball. He's like, kiteboarding is three-dimensional. You can't just think about your axis on the ground where you're moving back and forth. You have to think about the kite's axis in the air, which you are in charge of. And he's like, it short circuits everyone who tries the first time.
Yeah, but I felt that. And it was such a, listen, we're not trying to convert people to make them kiteboarders, but I just want to try to encourage people, no matter your age, to try something, you know, new that's physically and mentally challenging.
Yeah.
But I had not counted on being such a zombie in the evenings. And even the day we drove back, you know, we had actually had a busy day the day we drove back. And I've learned that about myself now, that whether it's, and I should know this from being an introvert, that it takes me a day to recover if there's something big social or we have friends in town. It's all good, but my brain really can't function. I need to give myself some time and some grace in that. Okay. Overcoming my perfectionism. That was a big deal. My last one is...
Your last thing you learned?
The last thing I learned. I learned so many things, but the last thing I'll talk about is the reward is worth it. As we age, we don't get participation trophies for trying something. You know, my kid went to... We signed him up for a comedy camp. He didn't want to go really. He said he wanted to go, and then it was time to go, and he said he didn't want to go. And I gave him the Penn Holderness answer, which is, we've already paid for it, so you're going. But at the end of the week, there was a big show. We got a pat on the back. You know, our kids study. They'll get a report card with a good grade. Like, you get a trophy. You get a trophy for trying things mm-hmm. as a kid. So now that we're not in elementary school, it's, you don't get rewarded for learning new things anymore. There aren't, you know, your dad's not there to pat you on the back. And to even to learn to try something like this, like, we had to schedule it months in advance and secure childcare, and we had to pay money. And so it was just getting there was so big it's why I don't learn a lot of new things, I think, because the barriers are so big. But when I finally stood up on that dang board with the kite, it did feel amazing. And so I think it felt so amazing because it was so hard. If it was super easy to get there, if it was super easy to just like, oh, stand up, like, it would not have felt so thrilling.
So describe the feeling. I want to go through several of these because I know this was hard for you. Describe the feeling physically, first of all. Like, tell us exactly, take us through what happened with your body and with the kite and with everything else.
I don't know that it's going to be as interesting. I mean, it felt, you go really fast if you're doing it, you know, and I didn't really know how to slow down. If you've ever been it feels like wakeboarding, but harder, because where the power is coming from is not, you have to generate it yourself. I was so proud of myself for figuring it out. And then immediately it was, holy bleep, how do I stop?
Mm-hmm.
You have a coach on a jet ski who's following, and I have some video. She's so sweet. And she's saying words to me, but I can't hear the words because we're far enough away and there's a jet ski and there's another kite, you know, kiter.
You're probably also concentrating really hard.
I know, but there's somebody else coming. I'm still within a safe distance, but she's saying words that now I can hear on the video are like, you know, slow down. And I don't know how to do that. So I would just like sit. I was like, okay, I'm done now.
Real quick though, if you have skied, wakeboarded, whatever it is, remember, I don't know if we've explained this yet. We're attached via harness.
At your waist.
Yes, yeah. At our waist. So there's a kind of a ski rope that you're holding out when you're kiteboarding, but that ski rope, if you let go of it, it just moves a few inches out of your grasp and you can go grab it again.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the force and pressure of the parachute is going into a harness because that rope is attached to a harness, like a very strong harness. And so when you let go, it's not like you gently sink into the water.
Well, I found a way to gently
unless the parachute goes down.
Yeah.
But so when you do fall, because, you know, that this is the scary part. When you do fall because you've lost control, you can't just let go of the rope and it slows you down. It drags you through the water until the kite, sorry, I call it a parachute, until the kite makes it back to the water.
I have to say, you guys, I had so many spectacularly painful falls. I said to Penn, it was a lunch break, but I had hurt my shoulder so badly that I said to him, I don't think I can do this. Like, I just don't think I could do this, because I was trying to, I didn't want to give up because I'm not a quitter. So I would keep holding onto the kite when I should have let it go. And I hit the water.
Kim, I'm so glad you brought that up. Your Zoe, your instructor, did a great job with media, with film, video, even audio. Normally, I'm not dogging on you because you did great. And there's a bunch of good, great video that I'm sure that we'll have it somewhere in this blog. But so the part she was just talking about where she gets lifted out of water and does, like, she walks on water, like takes two or three steps and then face plants.
Yeah. Like, it was as if my whole body belly flopped.
Right. And so her instructor, who's very, very positive most of the time, like, Kim, you did it. You're amazing. You're amazing. You hear her. And so I'm going to play this video for you. You hear her react by saying something, by saying, oh, no.
Oh.
She says that 3 seconds before you crash and about a second and a half before you even get out of the water, because she'd seen what happened to the kite.
Yeah. So let me set the stage. As a really knowledgeable kite surfer, kite boarder, you know right away if the kite is in the right position.
Yeah.
And I had it way too far in front of me. And so she knew before I did that it was going to be a flipping disaster.
So I want you to try to listen to her oh, and then I want you to try to listen very faintly for the slapping sound afterwards, which will be Kim face first, sadly, going into the water.
Oh. Do you hear the smack at the end? Here, play it again to see if you can you really hear the smack?
Oh.
Yeah. It's the last frame.
That was
she had to turn it off so she could turn off
to come rescue me. But that was my face. Put this on Instagram.
So just listen to her oh, because it starts out, she kind of breaks. It's like, oh.
Oh. Oh.
And then you, okay, because I'm not watching it, Penn. I'm just listening to it. We'll have to put it on Instagram. But it is, and then you see me, like, very surprised that it was not going well. And I kind of try to walk on water for a couple steps.
Yeah.
I let go a little late, and then smack.
For what it's worth, we all had one of these. We just didn't have someone filming us.
You know, here I am trying to convince people to do something that's physically and emotionally challenging, that saying that the reward is worth it, you know, give up on your perfectionism. You're going to do it. But I was so sore because my neck and shoulders and just from hitting the water, I was so sore that for 4 days to get dressed, I had to be fully just, I couldn't bend over to put on my shorts. I had to kind of like loop them around my foot from a standing position and kind of pull them up. I have never been so sore in my life, but I'm good now.
Oh.
But I'm not watching it, but it is very funny.
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. We all took these massive diggers in the ocean. They called it the Pamlico neti pot because it went like straight up your nose. And it was like, do you guys know what a neti pot is? It's a saline rinse. So whatever germs that we've had, they've been replaced by whatever germs are in that sound.
I want to definitely. So this is, Penn and I are actively looking for things. We're actively prepping for life as empty nesters. So I think the vision is we would have this skill. So when we go to the beach and we go on vacations, we would maybe even take some specific trips to go kiteboarding. I don't think we are to the level of proficiency and self-sufficiency that we would need to be to go out alone right now.
Even with a fully immersive 3-day camp, I completely agree with you. We're not ready yet.
No, I think we would go back to that same spot. Totally recommend. It's called real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's in the Outer Banks. If you were interested in that, they have a great setup there. They were so knowledgeable and so kind. I would love a chance for you and I to go back there, even if it's for a day, to get maybe a private lesson, because we see kiteboarders out on the beach where we go to the beach, and that's an entire ocean I could get swept out in, and that is just not going to happen right now.
Not yet.
So I think by the time PC leaves us and we're officially empty nesters, maybe we're those people that take a vacation and bring our kiteboards, and I don't know.
I think, like we said, this is a misogi, or it could have been a misogi.
Mm-hmm.
The real misogi is being proficient at this. It is, I think that we took, let's say it's a 10-step process. I think we took steps 1 through 4
right
at this place. And I'm not trying to, I think that they accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, which was just to get up and go for a while.
Yeah.
Which is great. But there's a lot more to it. Like you can't just get up and go. You've got to turn.
Oh, yeah. If there wasn't a jet ski there, like I wouldn't be able to get back to land.
I don't know many people who actually got to that point over the course of the camp. So anyway, I thought it was really cool. We've got some more work to do.
Yeah. So here's the question for the people, the sweet, sweet community that got us to audience winners of the other category. What is your hard thing you want to try? And it doesn't have to be, I'm thinking of my mom who listens to this podcast sometimes, and she just, you know, had a hip surgery and an ankle surgery. So she's not, I think her misogi would be able to walk around the block pain-free. So, but like, what is the thing you want to try that you've always wanted to try that you could commit to?
I want to know two things from them. So I do want to know what's the hard thing you want to try, but I also want to know what's keeping you from doing it. And I know that like not everything is possible, right? Mm-hmm. But everyone wants to try something hard. And if you haven't done it yet, there's a reason. And a lot of times it's, I haven't had the time for it.
Sometimes it's the money.
Sometimes it's the money, but I am curious, like what, something that you want to try and why haven't you tried it?
I fall into, I will say, because you and Lola play tennis, PC has, he's knowledgeable and has played tennis. That is a skill that as we look to getting older and empty nesters, I feel like everybody around me, it's just something, oh yeah. And
sure.
I've gone to watch, I have this wonderful, wonderful angel of a friend, one of my best friends. She's 50 and she's gone through some life changes, and she, oh, I love her so much. She's like, I'm going to learn how to play tennis. And she joined a tennis team without even really knowing how to play tennis. And she just gets out there and plays. And I've gone to watch her. And she's, first of all, very athletic. So there's that. But she's just trying. And she doesn't, you know, win, lose, doesn't matter. She's just out there trying. So I feel as if I make a lot of excuses. And my excuses for that particular skill of like, oh, I'm so busy. The kids are so busy. So I can find an excuse for anything. But I'm trying to think what we'll keep this kiteboarding adventure, but what's our next misogi going to be? What's our next hard thing going to be?
I kind of like the idea of pushing a boulder underwater for a kilometer.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We can have different journeys.
That's true. Yeah, most of the time, in fact, I think one of the things that Michael Easter said was that you're not really supposed to publicize it, certainly not on social media,
right,
tell your family, but also that, you know, you can do them together, but they can be equally rewarding if you try to do them by yourself.
Yeah.
So I think if we do this every year, we'll have a lot of different iterations. You may do one with a friend sometime. I may do one with a friend, but this was a great start. And there were times when I was very nervous that I would never be able to do it. And so I think for that reason, you know, for my ADHD inability to multitask, for you really challenging your perfectionism, it ended up being much more of a mental challenge than a physical challenge, but it was hard. I think the intended effect is that it resets the way that you view the world around you, and you get out of what he calls the comfort creep.
Yeah.
Which this is, I don't remember if he came up with this or if he was attributing it to someone else, but it's the concept that you're getting so comfortable with the world around you and with the perfect temperature of your room and the hours of sleep that you get and being able to access a TV show anywhere, anytime, any content, whenever you want to, that you become increasingly unhappy with what you've got as the amount of things that you've got goes up. There's this creep toward getting so uncomfortable and then not being happy because of it, right? There was this like direct correlation with happiness and getting too comfortable. And his belief is that this resets your mind and gives you a new appreciation for the world around you. And I will tell you, the last week I have felt not reborn, but I felt re-energized, certainly.
Yeah, reborn would be a stretch. But I would like to take something that's more physically demanding. I mean, mm-hmm. this hurt in a lot of ways, but I can't be running a marathon. Because also there has to be a chance of failure. So if it was signing up for some race, I know me, I would train for it extensively. So I don't know. If anybody has any ideas, you hit me up.
You know what would really be tough for me? I learned this after a couple nights ago. I could probably run a marathon before someone asked me to stand for 2 hours straight.
So
something happened.
We're always looking at the world thinking, like, is that a video? Is that a funny song? I mean, I kind of like the way this work has trained our brains to look for comedy. And I was like, is there a song in just the weird ways we hurt ourselves as we age? Because you texted me, I saw the text when I woke up because you had moved to the guest room. You're like, hey, babe, I didn't sleep very well. I'm in the guest room. My knees really hurt. And I was like, oh, gosh, what did he do? And you're like, and we woke up, you're like, I was standing a lot last night. I love you.
I seriously think that I like had a bad injury from standing. So whatever ligaments were in between the bones in my leg, between my shin and my,
are they gone thigh, now?
I don't think there's anything left. I think there used to be a nice little pillow there. And so like running is fine because you're activated, but standing, it's just you're banging those two bones together and don't make, get your mind out of the gutter. And I had the horribly swollen right leg and it was like restless and I had to put like 8 pillows around it. I took Advil in the middle of the night. I remember I was like so discombobulated. I brought a beer upstairs, like maybe that'll help. And I didn't open it. So I woke up in the morning and there's like a warm, unopened beer next to my bed.
And non-alcoholic beer or beer?
I think it was non-alcoholic. Like, why would that even help? Like, I don't.
It's so funny. We're drinking so many non-alcoholic things.
I can't tell the difference.
That PC says, I think you're turning into a non-alcoholic, which, I mean, let's not joke about alcoholism, but that was a funny term.
Yes. Okay. Well, guys, thank you for going on this comfort journey with this. I can't wait to hear.
I know. I want to hear. Like, I mean,
what do you want to try?
Well, you can message us on Instagram, or we always do sort of a blog post around these things. You can leave a comment there. Also, looking for new ideas. But anyway, I love you guys.
Bye. Bye. Oh. Can't stop watching this. Sorry, okay, we're done.
Okay, bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.